All right, we have a quorum, so go ahead and get started. Call the meeting to order. First order of business is approval of the agenda. Does anyone have any questions on the agenda as presented?
Make a motion to approve the agenda as presented.
Second.
All right, motion approved, or motion made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right, motion carried, moving on. Approval of the minutes. Anybody have any questions on the meeting minutes from last meeting?
By the way, I have a comment. When they draw these up, our secretary always does a good job.
Thank you.
I'll second that.
So I'm saying, I vote to approve the minutes.
Second.
All right.
Why is he not working for the county engineer?
Sorry, what? What was that, Hans?
Why is he not working for the county engineer?
Oh, that's between you and.
And Todd.
Yeah, right. Okay, all in favor of approving minutes?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? All right, motion carried. Wildlife management update, Jim?
All right, there's really nothing this month. Same old stuff. Anybody on the committee has something that they need to report, that's my update.
I've seen surprisingly little wildlife. I haven't seen any, I haven't seen deer or anything.
I haven't seen any since then.
I've seen a couple of deer, I saw a fox. The vultures are circling, it's the usual stuff.
All right. No one has any more on, or any questions on that, so we'll move on.
All right, your airport update, the signs, that's kind of dragging on longer than we'd like, but we're getting close on that. I don't have a date yet, but based on the last date they gave me, early July, probably for the big sign out by the Sussex Academy and then the letters that say terminal on the end of the canopy out here. So we should be getting close on that. Instrument approaches, the FAA changed the status on our standard instrument departure, or SID, that's now in development. It's supposed to be out in November of this year. We'll see what that is. As far as instrument approaches, our next big project that we're going to get a grant for is an obstruction survey. It's an aerial survey, which will go to council on the 28th. For approval. We're waiting for the paperwork on the grant for that, but that will survey the Part 77 surfaces, the instrument approach surfaces. There's a bunch of them, and it goes out quite a ways, like 10 miles in each direction from the runway. So there's a lot of surveying to be done.
Is that an FAA grant?
Be an FAA grant for that. What that'll do, I think we've talked about this before, it'll get rid of the restriction on circling to 1028 at night, and it'll also give us the ability to request an instrument approach for both ends of 1028, which is our plan. And then that'll help us develop an obstruction action plan, which is required by the FAA, to identify all the obstructions and have a prioritized plan for mitigating those obstructions. So that should start this summer. They have to fly the survey when the leaves are on the trees, so that'll be midsummer. As far as the big electrical upgrade project, we, like I said last time, the taxiway B lights have all been exchanged with LEDs and new wiring. The electrician's been back and seated and mulched. That part of the project is pretty much done. The other part of that project was Delmarva Power, which is still out here doing some work. We had a power outage Friday when they transferred the power lines from the existing service to the new service. It was out for about an hour Friday morning. Everything went well. They did find a way in the industrial park to make the transfer without losing power to any of the industrial park. Everybody was happy with that. There's still some more Delmarva Power work out in the infield to be done, but as far as pilots are concerned, that part of the project is done.
Jim, when this is done now, will this be, we'll have two separate feeds coming into the airport, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And will that be an automatic transfer? Should we lose one?
No, they'll have to come out and do it. But, you know, the problem you had at Wings and Wheels last year, you know, a half hour would have been fixed. So.
But it actually turned out to be a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had mood lighting.
Well,
yeah. Every LED light we could find shining to the ceiling, and it worked out well.
Yeah, and we're actually going to recreate it this year.
All right.
Just pass on to Devil and Marva how much we appreciated them actually going around about 30 minutes before they shut the power off. I mean, they actually sent a man around checking on everybody, letting them know. They didn't just do it, you know, coldly. They actually made personal appearances around the airport, you know, wherever they saw people, and make sure they knew where they were about to shut it down.
That's what they should do.
We pulled the airplane out the night before and opened the door real early that morning, so, you know, we knew it wouldn't be, but I thought that was awful nice of them to go around. And even though they'd sent us notice, they still took the personal interest to go around and actually tell everybody, okay, 30 minutes we'll be shutting down.
Did you get a notice from Delmarva Power or just from me prior to that?
My man came in the hangar.
I mean, other than that, did you get any other kind of notice from,
not that
from
I
them?
Saw, but I don't put them on mail. Yeah. If they mail something out, they may have, but I don't.
Okay.
Well, as
we were going through this, getting ready, I asked him, well, what do you do as far as notifying people? He said, no, we don't. We just turn the power off, and when it comes back on, it comes back on.
Well,
so we didn't send out the emails, and so I'm surprised they went around and talked to you.
We got your emails, and then the man come walking in the hangar. Wanting at 9 o'clock. I think they planned it at 8 o'clock.
Yeah,
I think it was
closer
about
to 8:30
or so. He came in the hangar and told us it would be about 30 minutes, they'd be shutting down, and then he left there, headed around to Sussex Aerial to let him know.
Yeah.
So
good.
At least they were taking action.
That's nice.
Good to know. Okay. We are in the beginning phases of a project to replace the taxiway A lights with LEDs and upgrade that system, but that's kind of early. The paving project that we had talked about for the little bit of taxiway B and then the rest of the ramp that's over here, I'm not sure if this happened before or after the last meeting, but we rejected the bids on that because they were too high and split the project up a little bit. And then we just put it out to bid again and just awarded the bid for it, which went to Jerry's Paving. So they'll be doing taxiway B, the part from the runway to the ramp, and then the north end of the hot mix area over here, like from the Ronnie Moore hangar this way. We've already done the little area in front of Sussex Aero Maintenance, and then that leaves one little piece that we're going to get when we do taxiway C, hopefully sometime this year. So the start date for paving the ramp over there is going to be October 3rd.
You're just so full of good things.
Yeah, so we're thinking about you. And then the continuing saga of the Ronnie Moore hangar, we did put that out to bid to repair. The cost to repair it is ridiculously high for what the building is worth, so we rejected all of those bids, and the county council did approve building a new hangar. So the plan right now is to tear down the existing hangar and build another one in a different place. The new hangar. Sorry?
According to the master.
It'll be placed in one of the spots according to the master plan. The most likely spot is in front of the first empty lot here, and it'll run perpendicular to the way the existing hangar is. So, and people that are in the existing hangar, they'll be the first ones to go into the new hangar, which will actually have more spaces to it than the hangar.
Build a new one first and then tear down the old one? Good, thank you.
That's my plan, anyway.
What color is the new one?
I don't think we've gotten that far.
Curious.
Good answer.
Covered your tie, probably.
Well, maybe. I was thinking we had a new logo, right? We do have a new logo, and we do have a new airport name. I was wondering if maybe it should be in line with that.
Well, the problem is we don't have, the other buildings aren't in line with that, so kind of look out of place. But
it's going to be the start.
There you go. Start something new.
Yeah, Larry, you get your hangar painted.
So,
anyway, just curious.
That's the plan. I don't know if Hans wants to chime in at all on the rest of that, but.
Did I get where are you thinking of putting the new hangar?
This will go on the concrete in front of the empty lot. Lot one.
It's about where that first row of parking spots is.
But it'll go perpendicular to the parking spots that are there.
Oh, perpendicular?
Yes.
It's a 90-degree change from the current hangar.
Current alignment?
Yes.
Wow. So coming out of Skip's hangar, you're going to have to go around it then?
Well, you'll have to stay on the taxi lane. The connector taxi lane from the back here, back out to the front, that'll slide down towards the existing hangar. You still have 115 feet clearance when it's all done, but that'll be the way in and out.
When are you thinking of starting back
construction? We will start the design now, rebuild the project, and have hopefully the board recommendation before county council within 90 days with a 90-day construction.
So you're talking, September. You're talking construction in November or December, right?
After raising it.
We knew what
was going
to
be. Is that going to affect the parking that we use for the show on Friday night?
No, not this year.
Okay, yeah. But next year.
Next year, the gray hangar will be gone. All that space will be available for parking.
That'll become tie-down spots?
There's tie-down rings in the pavement there now.
Well, they've been there since World War II.
Right. So we just take the building off of the tie-down spots, basically.
So next year, we switch the parking and the parking for the car show on Saturday.
It's probably about a net wash.
Okay.
Yeah.
From what I'm understanding, if you're gonna build the new hangar, can be relatively the same capacity as what we have there.
We're thinking it's gonna be 9 aircraft versus 6.
About dimensions. Yeah.
It'll be
same
footprint.
Footage.
Same footprint.
Same
yeah.
footage.
What standard size two hangars and 40-foot doors?
Yeah, about that. That's. With bifold doors, 12 foot doors.
Why bifold? Only because they're a lot heavier maintenance. They're a lot more expensive than a sliding door. Sliding door never breaks down, or rarely it can. I have sliding doors in my hangar over in Cambridge. Mm-hmm. So most you ever have to do is about every 4 or 5 years is adjust the rollers a little bit. But bifold doors, number one, when they fold up, you gotta have to get the same opening, you gotta build a hangar higher than a bifold door. Bifold doors probably at least twice as expensive as it was when I was building mine than a hydraulic door. But a rolling door you don't have to have electricity for. Mm-hmm. And really no maintenance for those, like the hangar, like T hangars over at Cambridge. Mm-hmm. And they've gotta be less expensive because there are a whole lot less mechanical action there to them.
The layout for the bifolds allows for or flopping upright each other using the same force to ride on.
Well, so does floater rolling door. Go over to Cambridge and look at the T-hangers over there. They got long rows of T-hangers. Okay,
and they have all doors open at the same place.
In the nearly 30 years I've had a T-hanger over there, I've never seen that situation.
But that would be the limitation.
But it's not anything to be concerned with because it never happens. If you want to go bifold doors, fine, but bifold doors are more expensive and more troublesome. You got to build a hangar higher. It's just basing on, you know,
yeah.
So we're here.
Well, like Hans said, we're in the design phase now. So
field trip to Cambridge, who's got the plane? And they have a
I
restaurant over there?
Let's go over and take a look at them. It's the ideal situation. Of course, it's a two-sided T-hanger. Okay, you have to have two sides to do that, where you've got, you know, hangers open on one side, hangers on the other side. And when the door is open, well, you can't open them every one at one time. Because
but you still black one.
No, you don't. No, you don't. Hey, I've been doing it for 40 years. Okay.
If you have a
I'll bring you pictures. I'll bring you pictures. So are you gonna build a two-sided hangar where you have access to it from each side?
Mm-hmm.
Then you can do rolling doors and you can open every hangar at one time. All hangars can be open and not any hangars can be blocked with rolling doors.
Sounds like Larry just volunteered for the design committee.
I'll show you the pictures of them that we have. We have them at St. Mary's Airport too. And you ought to see all the T-hangers they built over there. They got a whole new complex of T-hangers they're building over there.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone there has the sliding doors. And all the hangars, you have two sides. So what you have in but on this side of the hangar, you've got hangar opening, and then you got the back side, the one on the other side, and the hangar opening and the back side, the other one, alternating. So whenever the doors are all open, the door is open on the back side of the hangar on the other side.
Right.
Haven't laid out so tight. The one side is five slots, five doors, the entire front of the building. So, you know, like I said, it's imagine right now there's six spaces, we're going to fit nine planes in there. So, it's a tight layout. I mean, I'm following our directors. I'm just building the thing.
Well, I believe we probably have examples of all here at the airport that went. Yeah.
Probably.
Existing hangar, the one they're getting ready to tear down has sliding doors.
May not be the same. The one coming back this way is too.
Yeah.
Sliding doors.
It may not be.
When I built my hangar versus Skip's hangar, you look around and you look, notice Skip's hangar is a lot higher. There's a lot more expensive to build because he put a bifold door in.
That's right. You put the.
And but with the same opening, the same vertical opening, I was able to build my hangar a whole lot less expensive, a lot lower, by putting in a hydraulic door. Which was a lot less expensive too.
The design committee brought them.
Yeah, I'd say that's something that definitely can be discussed and resolved in the design phase and not here at this
committee. You save when building those hangars, you can show you something else.
I knew, Jim, that the cost of the repairing that one was going to be way up higher due to what all there was to be done. And I never put my feet on it. But what was the cost for RG at Liberty to share that?
Well, it was open to public.
The basic repair cost was in the order of $60,000. Okay. Not to bring the whole building up to code. That was
we didn't need to come up to code, did he?
We had options to bring it up to code.
Yeah. What was that then?
If you had to do the whole thing, do all the doors, fix all the sagging supports for the sliding doors, we were going to be in the close to $100,000.
So what's the new one going to cost? $8,500.
Our estimates will be $250,000.
And what's going to cost to tear this one down is going to be
$1,000. You feel that's
one book of matches.
Let me just haul the tin away.
But I still think it's best to get rid of that building because it's in bad shape when that went wrong.
But our master plan does show four sets of T hangers in this ramp over here, but the plan was we need to replace all that parking someplace before we do that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we've skipped that step of replacing the parking other than we've built the new ramp across the way. So we're having to look at what happens when we plop this T-hanger down. You know, how many, are we losing parking or gaining parking? And I think we're actually gaining parking on by doing the way we're doing it. So.
Has everybody seen the airport master plan, master layout plan for the future? You guys seen it? Anybody else?
It's been probably 2 years since I've seen it.
The long time since I saw it too is over in Jim's office.
It's on the website.
Is that portable enough to bring to the next meeting just for us to look at and maybe just all talk about?
Sure.
Or we could have the next meeting in your office. Beers with Jim.
It's just on the website though, right?
Yeah, it is on the website. All the drawings out of the master plan are on the website. DelawareCoastalAirport.com.
I just haven't looked lately. Yep. So, you know, when you're referring to the master plan, I couldn't remember what it looked like because I hadn't looked at it for
a while. Yeah, it's been a while. I think we were meeting over at the other building out on the highway last time I saw it.
Now, Lynn, do you think that Garrett's building a hangar down here on Lot 1? When is that estimated to be construction? Do you have any idea?
We're not discussing it right now, but nothing's been brought to council. So.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just going off with Linda already in conversation.
Okay.
There's supposed to be secrets going on here?
Not that I know of, no.
Is it in the proposed budget?
No. Because it's not financed by the county.
Yeah.
But it would take council action.
I think that was the end of my report.
Can I ask a question on airport update?
Sure.
It's really quite amusing frequently to dial in the ASOS here or the NAVOS. ASOS or AVOS?
ASOS.
ASOS. Okay. Like the other day, I was coming back from test pilot school. It was really amusing. There was not a cloud to be seen for 300 miles, and it's reporting sky clear, light rain. And it frequently does that.
Yeah. We've been aware of that. The Weather Service has been working on it for a couple of months. They've replaced just about everything in the system, and they can't figure it out.
So one day it was reported, sky is clear, and I couldn't find the airport. It was really overcast.
Yeah.
So
you need to add a word somewhere.
Well, I just called everybody. You listen to Cambridge, you listen to Easton, you listen to Georgetown, and say, well, maybe it's accurate. So who actually maintains that system?
The National Weather Service.
National Weather.
From they sent a guy down from Mount Holly.
So is there periodic maintenance or calibration of it? Or?
There is. Like I said, they've been down. I've called them a couple times and said, you know, it's clear and it's reporting light rain. And, you know, they get a phone call, it triggers a service call, which, you know, I've learned not to call them on Friday afternoons during the summer because I hate doing that to people, but he's been down here, like I said, for the last 2 months, and they've replaced the sensors. I don't know if you know which the sensors are. It's those two tubes that kind of point down, and they've replaced those. They've replaced a lot of the circuits in the system, wiring.
They just turned the sprinklers off.
Yeah.
Now, I flew an instrument approaching here about a month ago, and it was calling for below minimums, 350 feet. And I said, well, it's never accurate. I'm going to shoot it anyway and take a look. And I couldn't get in. So,
well, back.
It's probably the one time it was accurate, and I didn't want it to be.
Weekend we were supposed to go to Shaw Air Force Base. I think it was about a month ago. But I couldn't even take an airplane out of the hangar. And it was reporting, I think, 5 miles visibility, and I could not see the trees on the other side of the airport. I was standing out there and couldn't see the trees and reported 5 miles visibility.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's going to hurt somebody sometime. Because some rookie pilot who's inexperienced is going to, oh, I can get in there. I'm going to get in there. They're going to get here and they can't find the airport.
Well, I don't know. I mean, my experience, ASOS systems are not all that accurate anyway. You mean
some of them
across the country.
Some of them are really good. The one at Cambridge has always been.
On average.
And
my
the one at St. Mary's has always been real good. The one at Patuxent is real good.
I mean, everything gets measured out here at the system. I mean, it's not somebody looking across the field and measuring. Like I said, the precipitation sensors are those two tubes that point down, and they're looking at an area about like this to decide, you know, how hard it's snowing or raining or not. And I don't know what you do about it, but.
Well, it was just a frequent observation, I thought I'd mention.
Yeah.
And apparently I'm not the only one that's noticed it.
Yeah. It's never been reliable for me anyway, in my experience. But that's been my experience with ASOS systems in general. AWOS, a little more accurate. ADIS, obviously, more accurate.
Well, ADIS is generally a human observation.
Right. Which is... All right, that's... So you had, anybody else have any questions on the airport update?
I have a comment just on the wings and wheels before I bolt, whenever we're moving on to the next subject.
Okay, before we move on, I did have one more question. The aerial survey grant, for the grant you're looking for the aerial survey.
Yes.
Do we have the grant yet, or we're applying for it?
We've applied for it. The actual offer will come next week. It's been announced actually a month ago at least that the money was released for it. It was just a matter of, you know, getting the paperwork in
and there's no
question whether we're getting it.
Okay. That's obviously the first step in the ultimate goal of getting the two GPS approaches, RNAV mm-hmm. approaches for 10.28.
Yeah.
What's the general timelines from this date forward?
This is almost a year-long project.
Just a survey?
The analysis of the survey, the mitigation plan.
Okay.
I'm not sure at what point we submit the survey to the FAA's airports GIS system, which would allow us to request an instrument approach. And then once we do request it, it takes a year and a half for new approaches.
Yes, yeah.
So,
and I'm not trying to hurry anything. I'm just curious. I've never been through
yeah.
a process this close to it anyway. All right. No further questions. We'll move on to the Wings and Wheels report. We have Larry listed for that. I'm sure we'll also hear from Linda, too.
Linda, why don't you
take
and run with it?
I do want to get, we got a couple things that are going. We did a rat card this year that it's in getting printed now. So that's what it's going to look like. Then we'll get that out to all the local places, hotels, everything like that. We've got 1,000 being printed at this point in time. The other thing that we're really excited about is Dover Air Force Base. Every year they look for a venue to hold a mass enlistment ceremony, and they've chosen Wings and Wheels this year. So our opening ceremony on Saturday will be the mass enlistment ceremony. They're actually taking the lead on this, and we'll have their press, their honor color guard. They'll have the Air Force band will be here. They have a band that travels with them. They'll do a lot of publicity for us. And we have gotten Dick Hole to do the oath of service. And this is a competition amongst Air Force bases. So the more they have enlisting, the more chance they have of winning this competition. So it's going to hopefully be a really good thing for us and a really good thing for them. So that will take place at 10 o'clock on Saturday morning. And everything else is moving forward. We contacted all the schools for the Aviation Education Day, had a few more new schools interested in participating. The vendors have all been contacted. We're working on the speakers at this point. And most of our vendors are coming back from next year. And we have at least 5 schools that are interested in sending students this year. So we're working on that and working on the event for Saturday.
For the mass re-enlistment, we're going to launch a flyover. May just be me, but it may be, you know, some other, try to do it.
Larry came up with a pretty cool idea, and I've contacted the person that I've been in contact with at Dover to do a old and new, and have Larry as the old, and then one of their planes that they're doing training on the weekends with to do the
okay.
new portion of
Linda,
it.
If I could just interrupt you just for a second. Rob, you have to take
off. Yeah, I got to bolt. I got to get the event to go with.
Okay.
You had a question. Two questions, just, and it might be maybe more along the lines of Jim and Todd, but in reference to, we talked about, remember, the sign, is that going to be up and ready to roll in time for these sales?
God, I hope so.
That's a question, so maybe that can be a target.
Yeah. If it's not, Todd's going to string me up.
Yeah. Okay, right. And then number two, I if I recall, I don't think we've ever done it, but are we going to have a quote-unquote ribbon-cutting event for the new branding and the new name of the airport? I know we talked about doing it in the past.
Yeah.
We've been waiting on some of these other things, so I'm wondering if we will perhaps coincide that with Wings and Wheels and some kind of a publicity event, which we've talked about doing,
which
we've yet to do. So those were the two thoughts that I had.
Okay.
As it relates to
Rob, before you take off, we need a quorum, a vote of six for setting the next meeting date.
Okay.
So you have just five more seconds?
I got 5 seconds.
Okay, the next meeting date will be
if you skip July, like you usually do. It'll be September
20th.
Okay. Susan was saying that if we skip July and August, as we customarily do for our quote summer break, unquote, it'll be September 28th at 6 p.m. here at the EOC. So, do I have a motion for using that as our next meeting date?
Yep, motion to have the next report meeting on September 28th,
2016. Second? Okay, all approved?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Rob.
Thanks, guys.
September
28th.
28th.
Yep.
6
p.m.
2 days before.
Drive safe.
It's a week after my birthday if you're doing your card planning.
Oh, man. I'm glad you told me, Jim.
That Wednesday is typically a work day for us. Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. Is that right before Wings and Wheels?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Shoot.
Do we need, if we want to change it, we'll need a
We've amended the calendar via email before, correct?
Yeah, and then meeting dates are subject to change, are they not? Mm-hmm. In the bylaws?
Yeah, I think the president can set the date.
Okay.
For the chairman.
So maybe we bump it up a week in consideration of that.
That would work.
Okay.
Or bring a birthday cake. That's all I'm saying.
Is that your actual birthday? Oh, well, we'll meet at Arenas. We'll go over the master plan, and we'll have a celebratory occasion.
It's one of those big round numbers this year, too.
You turn to 60 or 70?
60.
I was going to shoot low, too.
I was going to say 40.
But I know. I was poor guy.
Larry shot me down there.
I'm coming up on 7.
Linda, did you have any more on Wings and Wheels?
I mean, not unless anybody has anything to ask me about.
Okay. Larry, did you have anything to add?
No, we've just praying for good weather for a change. Yeah. You know, we've had
2 years of bad weather. This is going to be a good one.
Yeah.
Something a little bit different this year. Rusty Lowry has offered to bring a couple of vintage gliders. Rusty is an instructor. He's a former director of the Navy Test Pilot School. He retired a little over a year and a half ago now. He's going to be one of the speakers at the Friday event. He is internationally known in the flight test community. And now that he's retired, he actually travels internationally speaking about flight safety, flight testing, flight test safety, and flight test programs. He's one of our volunteers, comes down and helps us, with the airplanes, helps us at events as well. But he's also one of the owners of Massey Aerodrome. Jim, you know where Massey is. They, a couple of real airplane people teamed up and bought that, and Rusty was one of the new owners. And we're going to be keeping a couple of airplanes at Rusty because we don't have room for them here. But he offered to bring gliders down. I think he was going to even, we were talking about maybe doing some kind of a raffle for a free glider ride. But
so you're going to truck him in or tow him in with a plane?
No, they may just tow one down from Massey, just because he has a what do they tow that with? Pawnee, I believe it is, that, mm-hmm. that he tows with. And or he's also got trailers for him.
Yeah. I guess all depends on the weather, I guess.
What's that?
Does he have a launcher for his glider?
Launcher, yeah, a pipe of Pawnee.
Tow plane.
I've seen one drilling on a truck, a winch. They launch from like...
Yeah, they have ground winches that launch gliders too.
Yeah,
but
that's what I'm saying. I mean, like, I've never seen it before. That's what I was wondering where they had one.
No, they just a tow. They tow it along.
It's also ground.
Yeah, and then the tow plane comes back around. You'll drop the tow cable, you know, beside it, run away, and somebody picks it up. Yeah. You have any heartburn with that? You know, having a glider operation occasionally during the day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they.
I don't know what kind of facilities he needs or anything, but I mean,
not really.
In general, I'm
he's been doing this at St. Mary's for a decade and a half,
mm-hmm.
and they do it without any interruption to, you know, any normal flow of traffic. You've probably seen him around here with big tall guys, about 6'2", 6'3" or something, really tall guy. But that's the only thing I can think of. Leonard, is anything else we talked about as far as the differences with the airplanes for the weekend?
No.
I think that was the main thing, was adding the glider ride. And we might, and I'll know in 2 weeks for certain, we might have a D-Day veteran, C-47, that actually dropped paratroopers in over France on D-Day, down here, and for Wings and Wheels, and potentially offering, you know, some flight experiences in a really historic airplane. I mean, this airplane never has even been modified. It still has all the original navigation equipment. It came out of Israel. It had been given to Belgium or somewhere, wound up in Israel in an A&P school, so it was never butchered up. You know, like most C-47s, the navigation station is gone. All the stuff was all just changed in baggage compartments. This is all still original.
That would be great.
But. They have committed to come down. I'll know for certain when I see them in 2 weeks if they really are going to come down.
Flyer looks nice.
Thank you.
It looks
job.
Great.
Yeah, this is who designed it?
I like that aerial shot.
PR Hook. They're chamber members, and we put it out to them. And
we get them to do the publicity for Ocean City Airshow.
How did you get the aerial shot on the front page?
Probably 3 years ago, was it, Larry, that he had some planes come over from the flyover school, and they took some aerial shots of the
guys from Easton were having a chicken drop the same weekend.
Chicken drop.
We actually...
Yes, they throw rubber chickens on the airplanes and try to ring up the bed of the pickup truck parked at the airport.
But we actually... in our bank, we just went through a renovation, and we put some photos on a community wall, and this photo is on our community wall as well. It looks really, really good. Mm-hmm. But they also did this shot as well. It's on the back during that flyover.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Outstanding. Yeah, I like it. It's very well done. All right. Nothing more on Wings and Wheels then? Thank you, Linda and Larry. We'll move on. New business.
Oh, Mr. While I'm mentioning, I've got someone else, Frank Dorian. You know Frank.
I know Frank.
Based
here.
Frank wants to get involved and volunteer for Wings and Wheels. And since you're a volunteer coordinator, why don't you see if you can find a position for him?
I've got several I can put him in.
Take all we can get.
Well, you know, Frank's a real sharp guy. He's very well organized.
Oh, yeah.
So he wants to help. So
good.
Find something for him.
Since he retired the second or third time, I guess he's got some time on his hands. He's looking. Since he retired the second or third time, he's looking to.
Well, he's slumming now.
Fill some time. Yeah, I know. Bahamas.
We just got him his SIC rating.
Yeah, I saw that. It's great.
Had to push that through. We had to rush to get that done so that he could fly SIC for me at test pilot school for 2 weeks.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, so his first trip out was, you know, riding shotgun over there with me for 2 weeks.
During test pilot school?
Yeah.
Well, there's an education.
Throwing him right into the fire.
Yeah, baptism by fire. That's good. Good for him. Anything else, Larry? All right, Jim, new business?
Well, we've already talked about the T-hanger, but there is one other bit of new business I'd like to bring up, just so I kind of get the ball rolling on this. There's nothing for the committee to do tonight, but it's something I need the committee to consider, and that has to do with drones or unmanned aircraft vehicles or unmanned aircraft systems. I think that a couple of meetings ago, I told you about, you know, drones are coming. We're going to have to start thinking about how to integrate them into the airport here. The growth of drones and the development of drones and the use of them is moving ahead at lightning speed, well ahead of what the FAA can do to keep up with it. There's a bill in the state Senate right now. It's SB 195, has to do with regulating where you can fly drones. Bethany Beach, I think, just proposed an ordinance about where you can fly drones. Just to give you a quick background, the FAA Reauthorization Act in 2012 basically told the FAA, drones are coming, you need to figure out how they're going to be incorporated into the national airspace system safely. And they said, you know, the way the laws are written, nobody can fly drones unless. You know, they said, except for people that are flying drones that are being used for recreation or hobby purposes. The FAA, leave those guys alone, let them do their thing. Anybody else is not allowed to fly a drone unless the FAA administrator gives them an exemption to the law that says you can't fly a drone. So the rules for recreation and hobby, you have to be... Yeah, it's just recreation and hobby use. You know, it's got to weigh less than 55 pounds. It's got to be flown less than 400 feet. If it's flown within 5 miles of an airport, the operator has to notify the airport or the control tower. It's not approval. It just has to notify the airport. If you don't meet those rules, you're in the everybody else category. You know, and this includes, you know, real estate agents that are taking pictures of their listings. I'm sorry, Rob left, but basically, if you're not doing it for just to have fun or as a hobby, you have to have an exemption to the law. You have to have a certificate of authorization, which will tell you, you know, which drone you can fly, where, for what purposes. And you probably have to have a letter of agreement with any airport that you're going to fly within 5 miles of. I've got a letter of agreement right now that somebody's trying to get me to sign, which basically says I authorize them to do certain things. Well, I don't have the authorization. I don't have the authority to authorize that kind of thing. I can object to people flying in certain places, but I can't say yes or no.
That's strictly an FAA thing, right?
That's up to the FAA. So, you know, we've got some people that have been notifying us. We have a process now that, you know, we log any phone calls that we get. We have a drone that's going to be out here Friday morning taking pictures for DelDOT that we know about. The other thing that we've done is we've signed up for this AirMap service, AIRMAP, AirMap. They're kind of the leading edge of the notification and that process. They have a system called DNAS, Digital Notice and Awareness System. It's a phone app on the pilot's end where, you know, he just punches in, you know, the GPS on his phone will notify all of the airports within 5 miles as long as they're part of this system, which now we are. We'll get an email that says somebody has notified you that they're flying in this area. We can set it up so that there are, you know, we leave it alone. It's just a 5 mile ring around the airport. The operator will get a notice, a text message or an email from us that says, "Welcome to Delaware Coastal Airport. Enjoy your flight." You know, we'll, Susan and I will both get an email that says you've been, you have a notice from somebody that they're flying in your airspace. You know, like I said, I can't disapprove any request or notification. I can only object to it. One of the things that this system will do is allow us to draw shapes around the airport. So let's say we wanted to have an area off the end of the runway. You know, it would automatically send a notice back to that person that says, we object to you being in this area. You know, or you know, may have a different place that says, you know, welcome, enjoy your flight. So those are the things we're trying to think of right now, whether there's places that we want to object to. I think it's probably going to be off the ends of the runway. But I'm looking for input on that type of thing. The other thing that I've kind of learned recently, the national airspace system starts at the ground and goes to 60,000 feet. So if you've got your drone out in your backyard, it lifts up off the ground, you're now in the national airspace system, subject to the regulation of the FAA. I know a lot of people may argue that, but that's their position, and they have the ability to regulate your flight through the national airspace system. Some of the things that people are doing in the drone world is they're putting up these big nets, these drone cages kind of thing, to where, you know, now you're not in the national airspace system anymore. You got this huge area to fly around in, practice flying your drone. There's some talk about putting one up near the University of Delaware. Not sure what's going to happen with that. There's also, they're looking at the Dover Speedway, being able to put some sort of a net system over that to have drone races. So that may happen. What are the airports and the county council's responsibilities? You know, out of our grant obligations, there's some things that we have to do. One's operate the airport in a safe manner. Another is to protect the airspace around the airport, which is what we're doing with our survey, is to, you know, look for all those things that penetrate different surfaces. But, you know, the people flying drones around the airport, that affects, that could be a hazard to the airspace around the airport. You know, that's something that we're supposed to address. And then the other thing is, as part of our grant obligations, we're supposed to ensure compatible land use around the airport. And the FAA expects us to use whatever land use authority that we have, the county council has, to ensure compatible land use around the airport. The FAA's position is, like I said, once that drone's up and off the ground, it's theirs. But the person standing on the ground is actually using the land to operate his drone, and that becomes a land use issue that the FAA expects the county council as the airport sponsor to use whatever land use authority to control that land use so it's compatible with the airport. So that's real quick background. What I'm looking for is the committee to start thinking about what kind of policy recommendations you'd like to make to the airport manager or the county council as far as drone activity around the airport. So,
Jim, shouldn't we look into how others is addressing this as well? Shouldn't you look into that before mm-hmm. we make any decisions?
Not going to find a lot because it's so new right now.
We're not the only one they're looking for.
Yeah.
In some respect, Hunter Harris is going to be a resource to us too. Do you know Hunter from over mm-hmm. Eastern? Hunter's on the FAA committee.
Yeah.
Long time. Some of you guys, you know Hunter, don't you? Used to fly the Goodyear blimp and all kinds of dirigibles, the test pilot and for blimps.
I probably do, but I can't. But
anyway, Hunter would be somewhat of a help to us at any time. He was over mm-hmm. last week one day visiting, to maybe some of what's going on and what you're thinking about, but I think they scare the hell out of me. You're talking about something up to 50 pounds, the unrelated, unregulated?
Mm-hmm.
What does a goose weigh? What is an average Canadian goose weigh?
About 9-10 pounds.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let me tell you a story that happened to me. Two of our friends were flying a 172 in Canada, and they hit a Canadian goose. One survived an ensuing crash, one was killed by the goose. The goose came through the windshield, killed him, and it resulted in a crash of the airplane. They couldn't keep the airplane there, it took the windshield out. And that's a 10-pound goose. So, me personally, I love to do everything as strong as possible to knock me out. This is a no-fly zone around the airport and anywhere within a couple miles of the airport, especially around any flight pass. They just scare the hell out of me.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot to research and discuss and talk about.
Thank you for
even the FAA doesn't know what they're doing yet. Complete picture.
Yeah,
they're still working to.
There's some guys calling from Arizona, and there was some idiot out there actually wanted to fly a drone, and he wanted to film airplanes landing so that he could sell the video to the airplane owners. Can you imagine that? Wouldn't you want to see that out here? A drone flying around over the runway waiting for airplanes to come in so you could film the airplane? And next thing you know, somebody's got to do a wave off.
Yeah.
But I wanted to bring it up just to get the ball rolling. Like I said, things are moving faster than people can keep up with. And
the waivers, the guys that's handling the waivers, and that's the same guys we got to deal with our LHFD waiver and our flight training, not waivers, excuse me, exemptions. And they are just drowning, absolutely drowning all these exemption requests.
Like I said, if you're not using it just for fun, you need to have one of those waivers. And you know, all these pictures you see on TV of, you know, the car dealer lots and real estate, you know, I'm sure most of those haven't gone through that process.
I'll tell you, my concern is more of the guys that are using it for fun and don't know what they're doing or don't know what airspace they're in. To me, those are the more dangerous ones.
But the drones are considered aircraft by the FAA, subject to all the same regulations as everything else. If you shoot one down, it's the same as shooting down an airplane. So if you plant it.
I got some cousins in Alabama that took you off. If you ever flown down at Fort Brooke, when you were in your Air Force Army, there was actually areas of the charts down there that the Army prohibits any of their flight training activities because in the past, farmers have shot at over shotguns.
A buddy of mine lives in eastern Tennessee near the Smoky Mountains. And there's certain areas that local pilots there know not to fly over in the mountains because of the moonshiners, and they will shoot at you because they think they're revenueers.
Well, the chicken farmers down in South Alabama would shoot at Hueys that used to love to fly over them. But anyway,
That's going to be a.
You know, the whole drone issue scares the hell out of me, just mainly because that. The technology is far outstripping the regulations and common sense.
There's really no such thing as a toy drone anymore.
No.
There are no toys. At least legally and in the eyes of the FAA. That was it. I just wanted to get the ball rolling on this, and it'd be up to the committee what you want to do next.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting year or so, I would think, with all the FAAs trying to integrate them in the NAS, and what the local airports have to do to protect their airspace, and apparently without a lot of help from the FAA. Mm-hmm. It's kind of an autonomous thing. All right, last thing on the agenda is public comments. Any comments from the public? Questions or whatever? We appreciate you coming and your interest. No? Okay, we have set the next meeting date, well, tentatively, September 28th, subject to change. And with no further business, to have a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
second?
Second.
Motion carried. All in favor?
Thank you.